Is it hour three already? My goodness. Jimmy Sengenberger in for Stephen Tubbs. The time is flying by. In the saddle today as well as tomorrow, 4 to 7, right here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Good to be with you as always. Of course, I host the Jimmy Sengenberger Show every Saturday morning from 6 to 9. Again, here on 710 KNUS, you want to join into the conversation, 303-696-1971 is our telephone number. You can also text into the show on the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone. And you could tweet at me. I'm at Sang Center. That's Sang with an E, not an A, Center on Twitter. And email me via 710knus.com, the Jimmy Sengenberger Show page, or my website, jimmysengenberger.com. No AI or U in Sengenberger. It's all E's all the time. In the last hour, we spent the entire hour talking about China, the Chinese Communist Party Congress. We were joined by author Helen Raleigh, an immigrant from China, as well as Keith Nobles, former longtime contractor to the military intelligence community, getting their fascinating perspectives on the developments over the last week. Xi Jinping now has become what, in the words of Congressman Michael Waltz of the House Armed Services Committee, the 21st century Emperor of China. He has definitely consolidated his power. He has put in his cronies, even for a time removed his predecessor Hu Jintao from the party Congress headquarters or meeting. And then, of course, he came back and cast a vote. But Hu Jintao clearly didn't want to leave and was made to leave. And not only that, after he left, the coverage on CNN was cut off in China. And that shows to me that there was something going on there that they did not want highlighted. What are your thoughts on this? We'll get to other political topics as well here in this hour, 303-696-1971. But all calls throughout the hour if you want to join in or text in to the show. Let's go to Joe in Arvada to kick off the hour. Good evening, Joe. How are you?
Hi, Jimmy. I talk about this issue with my brother all the time. He's, you know, he's busy in the military, and they're, you know, worried about this. Even, you know, although he's here in Colorado, they're actively defending our country in terms of, you know, major events. And one of the things that, I mean, I think the thing that was being done there when his predecessor was removed was simply a show to the rest of China saying that the old way is gone, the old platitudes, the old, you know, let's placate the United States, that's gone, and the emperor is now assumed the throne. I don't even think that he was told, of course, but I don't think it was so much animosity by Xi to his predecessor as it was just a show of power. And they wanted it to look like he was removed forcibly. I think that was obvious.
So can I just jump in and say one thing? Because yeah. I think you're hitting on something very important, although this wasn't reported in any Chinese media outlets. But what it did send a signal to is everybody else in that hall, the other leaders of the Chinese Communist Party. Look at what's happening with Hu Jintao. He's being removed. We're sending you a message. So it's just a little caveat that I think he had a more narrow audience because the rest of China wasn't exposed to that news.
Well, you know what it reminded me of? I swear it reminded me of a Bond movie where the villain is at the head of the table.
Yes.
And one of his henchmen kind of, does something stupid and kind of makes waves or something. And then he's taken out, like, you know, bullets fly and he dies right there on the table and they remove the body.
Yes.
But, you know, it wasn't that dramatic, but it was pretty dramatic.
Yeah, and, I think that's a good comparison.
It was a show of power.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I wanted to say that the thing that really scares me to death, I'm telling you, I'm one of these people that has food in my cupboards, I'm loading up water and all of that. But, you know, it won't really matter if we're a sheet of glass here in Denver, and we would be in a nuclear war. And that's the thing that really bothers me about this. The Biden administration is so vapid. Mm-hmm. They just don't think these things through. This continual amping up of Ukraine is a disaster waiting to happen. And, you know, the Chinese, they're just riding on the coattails of this. They're just looking at this as, this is a great thing for us. Mm. We're depleting the United States. You know, Ukraine is depleting the United States resources. Our missiles are dropping daily. I mean, I don't know if you saw this, but Admiral, I think his name is Gilday, said yesterday that the Chinese have moved their timetable up probably to a couple of months.
Yeah, that was on, I talked about it on my show Saturday. So it was like last Thursday or Friday of last week that he said it could be as soon as the end of this year. I don't think so. I don't think that's going to be the case, but it certainly is plausible and underscores the need for the United States to be prepared. Increasingly, more so than we are.
Well, think about this. The timetable, I think, is all revolving around Trump. Because, see, as Trump goes and he's about ready to kick off his campaign, there's going to be a turn in tactics as soon as Donald Trump takes over. I would say even before, because the ascension of power is going to empower the generals in the United States to stop this madness. Donald Trump realizes that we can't have a nuclear war. Joe Biden doesn't care. He's just looking for his next ice cream cone. The thing that is scary about this is if we keep feeding, if the NATO and the European countries just keep feeding conventional weapons, sophisticated conventional weapons to Ukraine, the Russians are just getting pushed into a corner where they just have no other option. See, and at least Putin thinks that.
What other option is there? I'm doubtful about that. And the reason why is because I don't think that Putin, the one thing that actually has him tethered somewhat to reality, is the notion that he doesn't want, as the guy who envisions himself to be and has for many years to be the 21st century Peter the Great, that he wants his legacy to be Russia being blown up in a nuclear war, because that is the retaliation that would end up happening. Russia would be struck nuclear.
That's not our policy. Our policy, see, this is something that a lot of people don't understand. If a small tactical weapon is used in, say, Ukraine, our policy is not to just launch the nukes. Our policy is to attack with conventional weapons from all sides. In other words, we're supposed to attack on the Ukraine field with all sides. Well, you know something? Putin understands that, and so does Xi. And let me just tell you something. This has all been discussed. The people that think that these people don't know anything about what's going on here, they have talked about all of this.
Joe, looking at the utter failure of the Russian military to continue this invasion in a way that is conducive to success, I think that even if the U.S. were to simply limit it to exactly as you described, that would eviscerate the Russian army and that you would see catastrophic consequences for Putin. And I don't think Xi Jinping is stupid enough to get engaged in that way. In fact, I think that Xi and the CCP are increasingly dubious toward Russia, and this has not gone in the way that they anticipated. But I appreciate the call. You've offered up some very important thoughts, and always grateful for you to call in, Joe. Thank you. All right, 303-696-1971, our telephone number. What's your take on that and the likelihood of any sort of nuclear encounter or nuclear engagement? I don't see that as being likely at all, but it is, you know, anything's within the realm of possibility, I suppose. 303-696-1971, but regardless, you have a lot of serious and significant issues, and we do have a president of the United States who just doesn't know what's going on and who can't remember what he's doing. I mean, take a listen to this clip in an interview on this online show or for this online service and YouTube or whatever. Now this, where he's asked about taxpayers funding abortion, reimbursing abortion, and he forgets the name of a significant Supreme Court case that he thinks never should have been overturned.
Do you support a federal fund for individuals like myself who need to take time off work, obtain child care?
The answer is absolutely. But guess what? We need the same votes we need to overrule, to reinstate the decision that was struck down by the court. I mean, I do support that, and I've publicly urged companies to do that. I've urged them publicly as President of the United States, saying, this is what you should be doing. I urge you to do it.
To fund abortion, travel, etc. That's what he's saying. But he couldn't remember Roe versus Wade. Joe Biden was alive and well when Roe versus Wade was decided by the Supreme Court in 1973. And he forgets it now, decades later. And this just went down, the overturning of Roe, just a handful of months ago. And then he's asked in an interview on MSNBC about how Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States, is doing with her job. And listen to the interesting response that Biden gets.
She's doing great. She is first of all, she's smart as hell. She has a backbone like a ramrod, and she has enormous integrity.
A backbone like a ramrod. What? What kind of comparison is that? Yes, absolutely. Joe Biden doesn't know what the hell is going on. He can't even remember his own unilateral executive order on, say, student loan forgiveness.
Secondly, if you don't have one of those loans, you just get $10,000 written off. It's passed. I got it passed by a vote or two.
It's passed. I got it passed by a vote or two. I'm sorry. I don't remember any law being passed by Congress to forgive $10,000 to $20,000 a borrower in student loans. I don't remember one or two votes. I just remember a guy by the name of Joe Biden coming out and announcing that he's unilaterally wiping away hundreds of billions, if not $1 trillion, nearly $1 trillion, in student loan debt. Just saying, I'm wiping it clean. By the way, there was a stay just last week by an appeals court. A lower court ruled, okay, this case can't move forward, in a case brought by, I think, six different states challenging Biden's unilateral action. And then an appeals court said, nope, it can proceed. So we'll see what happens. But these states are on very solid ground in the case that they are bringing against Biden and his administration for unilaterally using authority not granted by the Constitution of the United States, let alone any statute, to the president, to the executive branch, to just wipe away hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars in student loan debt. That is not permissible. And this court case really has tremendous merit, tremendous prospects for success if it can continue along through this difficult standard to reach of standing, which is the court's way of saying you have the ability to bring a lawsuit. You're permitted to bring a lawsuit. But here's an interesting perspective from Jonathan Turley on this. FoxNews.com, the professor from George Washington University, law professor. On Friday, President Joe Biden claimed that Republicans who received PPP loans for their businesses during the pandemic and who are now critical of a student loan handout are hypocrites. That's one thing that Biden did. And then he went on to talk about this exact point of one or two votes. And goodness, here's what Jonathan Turley says about that. The White House staff will now bring out the mop and bucket crew on the latest presidential spill. But it may be difficult to spin this latest gaffe. Heroes, the Heroes Act, was passed in 2003 in the House by a vote of 421-1. That's right. It was the only vote against, there was only one vote against the bill coming from Democrat George Miller of California. It passed the Senate by unanimous consent. There was no roll call vote, according to the congressional record. At the time, Biden was the senior senator from Delaware. So it appears rather than passing the original Heroes Act by one or two votes, there was only one vote in either house against it. As for his $500 billion giveaway of student loan debts, there was no one or two vote margin because he never submitted it to Congress. Biden is, however, right about one thing. He should have. What is fascinating about Biden's gaffe, Turley writes, is that he was subconsciously or unwittingly channeling constitutional norms. This is precisely the type of major measure that the framers assumed would be subject to debate and approval in Congress. Who has the power of the purse, by the way? Is it the president or is it Congress? It is Congress, last I checked. Turley notes that James Madison observed that our system of separation of powers strongly separates the powers of, quote, the sword from the purse. Madison also noted in Federalist 58 that the power of the purse is the, quote, most complete and effectual weapon with which any constitution can arm a governmental branch. Thus, Biden articulated the correct principle in claiming to have passed his loan forgiveness program, even by the slimmest margin. The fact that it did not actually occur only highlights the fact that it should have occurred. This may be why famed psychoanalyst Carl Jung once remarked, quote, "The unconscious mind of man sees correctly even what conscious reason is blind and impotent." Basically, Biden just gave away the store here and acknowledged inadvertently that he should have had this go through Congress, but he didn't. Potent piece from Professor Jonathan Turley over in FoxNews.com. 303-696-1971, our telephone number. Earlier this year, in July, Michael Bennett said this in an ad, which we will talk about on the other side.
Just as our parents taught us, Susan and I have taught our girls, leave things better than you found them. But common sense like that has been lost in Washington. It's why I'm fighting to ban members of Congress from ever becoming lobbyists. Why I'm not taking a dime in corporate PAC money. And why I'm working to stop senators and congressmen from making personal stock trades.
That last one, is very curious. I wrote about it in the Denver Gazette on Friday. And I wonder how important it is. What do you think? 303-696-1971. How important it is to highlight not only hypocrisy among the Democrats, but also the do as I say, not as I do attitude. Because Michael Bennett hasn't abided by that in Congress and led in any way, shape, or form. Let's talk about that and the race of Joe O'Day and Michael Bennett more. On the other side, Jimmy Sangenberger in for Stephen Tubbs here on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS. Ah, gotta love the great late SRV as we walk the tightrope back here on News Talk 710 KNUS, or the world sort of is walking that tightrope. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Stephen Tubbs here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Can't get any better on the git fiddle than Stevie Ray Vaughan, bar none. And when you talk about walking the tightrope, certainly what's happening in China, in Russia, in Ukraine, in Taiwan really is, in many respects, a tenuous tightrope. At least there's a tightrope that the U.S. and other countries must walk on those issues in many respects. Stephen Littleton texting in, well, I believe Slow Joe has the unparalleled propensity to totally wreck things. I don't think his handlers and other world powers will join in any move toward a nuclear engagement. I agree, Steve. I don't think it is in the interest of Russia or China in the long term to actually engage in an unprovoked nuclear conflict. That would lead to more than what we were discussing in the last segment with Joe calling in. I think it would have much broader implications as far as maybe not in the immediate sphere, but opening up the door to much more nuclear engagement. And that's something the United States, Russia, China, Europe, nobody wants that. The devastation of a nuclear attack in Ukraine would have far-reaching implications. Think about even the notion of Ukraine being one of the world's breadbaskets with all the wheat and so forth that is produced there. I think that is a strong deterrent to any kind of nuclear engagement. I think it is very unlikely for Russia to engage. I think you're more likely to get an invasion of Taiwan in the next year than you are to get Putin using nuclear weapons in the next year. I hope I'm right in the sense of Putin not doing that. I also don't think an invasion of Taiwan is going to happen anytime soon as well. But it is important to recognize what is happening overseas and what we saw in the Chinese Communist Party's Congress, according to another texter, is similar to the scene in The Untouchables, minus the bat. I think you're referring to Hu Jintao in that instance. Good to be with you again. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Stephen Tubbs. So many issues that are going on right now in D.C., in Colorado, across the globe. And one of them, of course, is crime. Over the weekend on Trey Gowdy's show on the Fox News Channel, none other than Joe O'Day appeared, and he was asked about whether or not crime is a big issue in Colorado.
Yeah, we've got record crime here in Colorado. It's up 30%. We're number three in violent crime. We're number one in auto theft. And hard to believe, we lost 1,900 Coloradans to drug overdose last year. This fentanyl coming straight up I-25 from the unsecure border. Bennett and Biden have failed to secure that border. We've got to do more. It's human trafficking. It's fentanyl coming straight up. When I talk to the police here in town, they're telling me that, you know, every state is a border state now. We can't do anything until we secure the border and crush the supply down there.
O'Day hitting the nail on the head right there, not dissimilar from Eric Odland in his debate against Brittany Pederson last week. By the way, Odland needs to win in the 7th Congressional District against, well, Pederson reaffirmed, before I play Odland's clip, Pederson reaffirming that she thinks heroin injection sites are a good idea.
So my question is, do you still believe that supervised drug injection sites are a good idea? And would you support similar efforts at the federal level?
Thank you for the question, Kyle. We know that this is evidence-based. It would save lives. It's irrelevant in this race.
Yeah, he literally asked, would you support it at the federal level? And she says, oh, it's irrelevant in this race. But clearly she still thinks heroin injection sites are a good idea. That underscores why Eric Odland needs to be the congressman for the 7th Congressional District. And here's what he said about crime in their debate last week on 9 News.
Well, right now we have lawlessness in Colorado. We're leading the nation in auto theft. We're leading the nation in bank robberies. We're the cocaine capital of the country. Violent crime is up over 30% here in Colorado. This is a result of not enforcing the law and soft on crime policies that my opponent has directly supported. So what Congress can do is make sure that federal funding goes to the right places and use the power of the purse as pressure to make sure that the rule of law is upheld. Now, I have never would support defunding the police. We need to make sure that law enforcement is well-funded, resourced, and trained. And we have to restore the integrity that was lost because the Democrats push to defund the police. This is very problematic. We must address crime at its root, and that's upholding the law.
Excellent answer. Truly on-point answer. Now, we don't see Democrats talking about the need to address crime, certainly not in any vigorous way. They pay lip service to it. You hear King Polis say on the debate stage and speeches and so forth, going back to his State of the State address, I think at the beginning of this year, oh, I want to make Colorado one of the top 5 or 10 safest states in the country. Yeah, right. Well, Democrats aren't talking about crime. And this is something that was really puzzling Joe Scarborough over on MSNBC in a chat with somebody who, I'm rather intrigued that Chris Matthews has returned to the airwaves.
But I'm talking to Democrats in blue state America who are telling me they're concerned about crime. I'm talking to Democrats in Philadelphia who are concerned about all the shootings. Do you remember when Marion Barry was mayor of Washington? And one time he said, you know what? Other than murder, the crime rate's going down. Everybody made fun of Marion Barry for saying that. That's the Democratic argument right now. That's the progressive argument right now where they go, you know, really, if you take murders out, if you take violent crime out of it, well, the crime rates are going down. And I don't know how to convey to progressives that it doesn't matter what they think. For some reason, voters are talking about crime, including Democrats, even disconnected from political races. I'll be honest with you. I don't get it. I don't know why they don't want to face it down.
There you go. And that's to a Democrat audience where you have one of their mouthpieces now. He's turned away from the GOP solidly. Joe Scarborough saying, I don't know why they won't talk about crime. That's an issue. Why aren't you talking about crime? Well, the question is, will the Democrats start doing so? I don't think so. Especially in this state of Colorado. Now, what was interesting, too, and this should provide a little bit of a reinforcement to Republicans who are focusing on three big issues. Chris Matthews, remember the Me Too movement tossed him aside? He lost his longtime show, Hardball, on MSNBC. Somehow Me Too no longer matters. He's returned to the television. Here's what Chris Matthews said. You know, and I think important words that Republicans should heed as much as, well, Democrats would want to if they were sensible about actually addressing issues. But, of course, they don't want to be, and they aren't, and that's all the better for us.
But this goes back to 1946. I've been reading about this. Murray Chotiner, who was Richard Nixon's first campaign manager, said that the voter can only think of three things in the voting booth. Make sure all three are about your opponent, and all three are negative. And now they've got inflation, crime, and the border. And they keep pounding and pounding those three issues over and over again.
Inflation, crime, and the border, and locally, education. They keep pounding these every day. Yes, Republicans are pounding those three issues, and rightly so, as well as education when you're looking at the local level. And you saw or heard just a moment ago Joe O'Day, Eric Ovin, speaking very plainly about this, especially when you have left-wing candidates like a Brittany Pederson or a Joe O'Day or a Phil Weiser, attorney general candidate, incumbent running for re-election, sort of poo-pooing the crime issue, not taking any responsibility for it, etc. And it's resonating. However, at the same time, I think it's important to underscore corruption, underscore hypocrisy, underscore how disingenuous Democrats are, like Michael Bennett. I won't really delve into this because I talked about it on my show Saturday and Stefan had me on Friday about it, but I encourage you, it's trending number one in the Denver Gazette, Michael Bennett's Big Short. I encourage you to check out that piece because he had this ad. I played it before the break.
Just as our parents taught us, Susan and I have taught our girls, leave things better than you found them. But common sense like that has been lost in Washington. It's why I'm fighting to ban members of Congress from ever becoming lobbyists, why I'm not taking a dime in corporate PAC money, and why I'm working to stop senators and congressmen from making personal stock trades.
There you go. I'm working to stop senators and congressmen from making personal stock trades. He released that on July 21st, his first ad of the campaign. He didn't become a co-sponsor until the Senate's bill to do that until August 2nd. The act introduced in January. So he claims to support a ban on stocks. He's late to the party. He hasn't put him in a blind trust ahead of a law being passed, which is what the law would require members of Congress and senators to put their stocks and other investments into a blind trust. He does not have that kind of a setup. And as I write about in my column, for someone who says he's working to stop personal stock trades in Congress, why hasn't Bennett taken initiative? Why must it take a new law for Michael Bennett to do what he claims is the right thing for everyone in Congress? He's making it a big deal for his campaign. I think Republicans are right to highlight this, especially because, as I expose in the column, Colorado senior senator personally made bank from a hedge fund that got rich betting that Puerto Rico would go bankrupt. Especially right now, while we see stock portfolios for Americans plummeting, we see inflation skyrocketing, shrinkflation growing. That is where you buy products that are smaller and smaller, less to buy. I mean, goodness. It keeps getting worse and worse. And here Michael Bennett's making all this money and he's trying to say, and I got nothing wrong. I don't fault anybody for making money as a capitalist. Where I fault is somebody who is trying to push the kind of laws that Bennett is, or says he's trying to push laws, but he knows, as happened in the House of Representatives last week, that these bills are going to collapse. They're not going to succeed. And so why not support something he knows won't pass, pretending that he's willing to restrict himself when he doesn't do it? I think that is worth being an issue to highlight, but not as the driving force, but an issue nevertheless. What do you think? 303-696-1971, our telephone number. We got a little more time on the other side as we look at polling data as well that is showing Republicans in a very strong position now. Keep it right here. I'm Jimmy Sengenberger in for Stephen Tubbs, a News Talk 710 KNUS. Jimmy Sengenberger back in for Stephen Tubbs. What a great tune. I'll say it again, even though I've said it many times on air, this program filling in my show, Allman Brothers, the best band in history. Controversial? Yes. Accurate? Yes. Welcome back. Good to be with you. News Talk 710 KNUS. As the Democrats' chances for success are headed southbound, here's Chuck Todd over on NBC talking about a new NBC News poll that should serve as red flags for Democrats.
Digging deeper here, we've got some all-time midterm highs that should serve as red flags for the Democrats. The wrong track, 71% all-time midterm high since we've been polling. How about presidential approval, disapproval on the economy sitting at 57%? Again, we hadn't recorded that ever that high in our poll. And the third one, the direction of the economy in the next year, is it going to get better or worse? 50% say it's going to get worse. Again, an all-time high in midterm polling.
Huh? That's intriguing, isn't it? And here in Colorado, I definitely think that looks good for Republican prospects. Now, as we look at Halloween, parents are going to be squeezed more as they're looking at Halloween candy to give out door to door.
This Halloween, there may be more tricks than treats, thanks to inflation's impact on the rising prices of candy.
It's just a bunch of hocus pocus.
No, it's not a bunch of hocus pocus. According to the latest Consumer Price Index report, the cost of candy and chewing gum is up about 13% from this time last year. Those king-size Reese's peanut butter cups, up 14%. A Hershey's milk chocolate bar, 15%. That party mix that was once $10 will now set you back $11.30.
You're not scared, are you?
And as those prices soar, the packaging is shrinking, known as shrinkflation. Hershey's confirming a bag of their dark chocolate kisses is now a couple ounces smaller than it used to be.
Wow. Halloween's getting expensive. It does make me crave a Kit Kat or a Reese's right about now, gotta say. But this kind of thing is squeezing families right now. And it is one of the significant issues that Republicans are winning on, and that's great to see. But that contrast needs to be stated very clearly. And Democrats, of course, are trying to use abortion to benefit their side and to turn out voters for the Democrats. Question is it working? Especially in a state like Colorado, where we have the most permissive abortion laws in the country. They're trying to make, for example, Joe O'Day out to be somebody who supports significant restrictions on abortion. This is ironic, given that I was sitting here in this studio on my show on a Saturday morning with Joe O'Day, where I was getting texts of people ripping on him for not being pro-life enough in the primary. And then he gets to the general and they're coming after him for supposedly supporting some sweeping ban. Actually, he voted for that common sense Proposition 115 from a few years ago that would have put sensible restrictions on abortion in this state and is reasonable, level-headed. And actually, if voters knew about it in Colorado without the deception of the Democrats over what it really entailed, they were saying, oh, it was some sweeping ban on abortion. No, it was common sense. When a baby's heartbeat, a baby's got a heartbeat at 22 months in a pregnant, or 22 weeks into a pregnancy, baby's heartbeat formed in the body, can feel pain, all of those things. That's when you would restrict abortion. Common sense and reasonable. And they're trying to do something otherwise. Well, the Democrats have an extreme proposition. They want to fund abortion from the government.
Should federal taxpayer dollars be used to fund abortions?
I think that this is something that you try to, that is, tries to bring division around funding for abortion. I think that this is healthcare, that this should be funded no matter who the payer.
That's a yes then.
Yes. Okay.
And Biden.
Do you support a federal fund for individuals like myself who need to take time off work, obtain child care?
The answer is absolutely. But guess what? We need the same votes we need to overrule, to reinstate the decision that was struck down by the court. I mean, I do support that. And I've publicly urged companies to do that. I've urged them publicly as president of the United States, saying, this is what you should be doing. I urge you to do it.
Blake from behind the glass, does he stumble at every word he tries to speak? Yes, that is Biden. But you can listen to what he's saying fundamentally is, yes, taxpayer dollars should go to fund abortion. And all these companies should be encouraged to finance any travel to other states for abortions, etc. That's where he's coming from. That's where Brittany Pederson is coming from. And here's the question. Is that enough, that issue of abortion at this stage in the game, to turn out support for the Democrats? Or are we up against inflation? Are the Democrats up against inflation because of how significant that is squeezing the American people, the people of Colorado? And you look at crime out the wazoo. Those are the issues. Again, Chris Matthews returning from media death.
But this goes back to 1946. I've been reading about this. Murray Chotiner, who was Richard Nixon's first campaign manager, said that the voter can only think of three things in the voting booth. Make sure all three are about your opponent and all three are negative. And now they've got inflation, crime, and the border. And they keep pounding and pounding those three issues over and over again.
Chris Matthews back from media death. I guess he's, you know, they think, oh, well, me too, gets rid of him. Well, and somehow he's back. But he's saying Republicans are hitting on the right issues. And those are the winning issues here in Colorado and across the country. And you throw in education as well. And I do think here in this state that those issues play better than, are more impactful than the Democrats trying to trot out abortion. Yes, there are some in their base. Obviously, they will do that because of abortion. The Democrat base will vote that way. But unaffiliated, I think it's much more of a mixed bag. They are up for grabs, and Republicans need to be smart in their strategies. And focus on the issues that matter. Focus on the issues that are squeezing the American people. And the headlines, every day you see a new headline about crime. about auto thefts. You go on to next door and that's happening. Today there was another shooting on I-225. Communities are crumbling. We need change. Speak it loud from the Rocky Mountaintops, Republicans. I'll be back in studio again tomorrow in for Stephen Tubbs. My thanks to Blake Gallagher, doing a great job producing today. Leroy is back in the saddle tomorrow behind the glass. Have a great evening, and as I always like to say, may God bless America. Jimmy Sengenberger in for Stephen Tubbs. Have a great night.